United we fall.
Oh, for a satellite dish that would pluck down from out of brightest heaven a film blockbuster, some young Minogue to star, a Fiennes to scowl, all to Lloyd Webber's soaring melodies. Then would we zoom in on an estuary shore where lies a city whose precipitous streets are decked with flags on this rare sunny day as townsfolk throng in all the public squares. The credits roll, the camera pans along an ancient, broken, much neglected wall. And then this text in antique script we read. Two councils near alike in dignity, Notton and Sutton, where we set our play. Forsaking hate, strive to build unity. But men's like rodents' plans oft gang aglay. Cut. While Lloyd's music plays to view them all, the very persons of our noble story as they were living. They enter each the massy portals of the city hall and take their seats. Lord Collington, who sprung from long and rusty line of noble toffs. Lockhart and his friend Fergus, common men, but of a Notton origin like he. From Sutton, the Reverend Motley of the Pinks, who winks at the police chief from beneath his bowler firmly welded to his skull. Bromley, the trusted henchman of the mayor, and his sweet Eleanor. Oh, couldst thou see her soft pink lips, her white and downy skin, her breasts like melons formed of alabaster, then wouldst thou as I do... But break we off. The mayor will speak. God only knows his heart. But moral fibre's not his stiffest part.
Welcome, welcome, sweet ladies. Welcome, our free press. My lords, on gentlemen, and all the rest. Today is May Day, harbinger of spring. The end of the harsh song that winter sings. And God, today, has dyed the sky deep blue. The sun smiles, blessing everything we do. So, sweet Miss Proctor, please lend us your hand and help us to unveil the master plan. Yes, for far too long, our fair town has been split, unkindly sliced in two unequal bits by an unnatural dividing line, a Roman wall which we shall undermine. So former councils of Notton and Sutton can join and breed the fair new town of Snotton. Our trade thereby will prosper and increase. Old animosities give way to peace, and hopes for future joys will crown our aim with citizenship equal and the same. Yeah, well, if any of you newsmen pose a question, I'll do my best to give you satisfaction.
Your reasons. Can I ask you to explain why it is better to be one than two?
No more shall complex regulations force some trams to be electric drawn, some horse. No more shall Sutton's gallant firemen find a fire is just the wrong side of the line, and they are squirting tons of Sutton water into some place wherein they didn't oughter. And other weighty reasons shall appear if you peruse this publication here, with figures, pie charts, graphs, and photos, too, of the whole team who brought this joy to you.
Led by Eva Proctor, your sister's daughter, there are some liquids thicker far than water.
I hope the Evening Echo will not stoop to gutter probe for nasty bits of poop. Or art thou so far rooted in the past, thou wilt not put a girl on top at last?
You are aware that Notton folks' opinion opposes this incorporating union?
I heard there was a lightning plebiscite. 'Twas unofficial, and its outcome tight.
A tight result for Notton 2-1.
Oh. Your football policy is clear set down. There will remain a separate Notton town.
Thanks, Bromley. That had almost slipped my mind. This policy proves that we are inclined to be a listening council, for it seems the people wanted separate football teams. But soft. I hear the gong clash now for lunch. I hope you'll join us. Take a little munch. That journalist is nothing but a pest, a viper fouling our sweet wholesome nest. Where is he from? I marked more than one time he could not organize his words to rhyme. Chief Constable, have someone check his car. Thou knowest how sadly frequent car thefts are.
Inspector Claude, the mayor needs help again. You caught his drift? Choose none but soundest men.
Constable, would you please draw up a rota and set a watch upon his red Toyota?
Cheer up, dear Lockhart. Clear thy darkened brow. Wheel to the boundary bar and sink a pint.
Didst hear what tune our bells played first this morn? Why am I sad upon my wedding day? No true-born son of Notton now is glad. We've signed away our sovereignty and rights, for which our fathers gladly did expose themselves on many bloody battlefields against Saxon, Hun, and Ostro-Visigoth. And though they vow to share with us their treasures, we shall find all their promises are empty. So I approve of what old Hadrian built. Imagine this sad ruin resurrect to split us quite securely once again.
And should we miss the sight of their fair town? Hast thou ne'er wandered in their streets at night?
Eh?
I love to walk there when the nights are fair, to feel the pleasant silence rich with scent.
There wouldst not be a Sutter night, my Fergus.
No way. Well, they're a bunch of poncy twits, but live so close we must put up with them. Mm. Despite the fact their trick of speaking verse is nothing but a right pain in the neck.
This tis that quite deforms their sense at times, for natural phrases never end in assonance.
Come, Lockhart, let's away. So long, you think. The pub is shut before we've had a pint.
What news, my husband, furrows up thy brow, and from thy plump cheeks steals their ruddy glow? You leave your cornflakes so long in the bowl, they'll taste like soggy bits of toilet roll.
Thou knowest that tubby fool who sits in state in City Hall has trammelled up our fate and unified our tree-lined avenues with Nutton's dismal wines and stinking stews. The new news is, to stop all argument, he's given them a cash equivalent. I do not see what need to pay we had. Those whom the gods destroy, they first make mad.
Have you no feeling for the poorer sort? Last eve of coriander we fell short, and 'tis an herb thou lov'st, that's why I stock it.
Though frankly I prefer a bit of rocket.
So though the evening was as black as night, with thunderclaps and bursts of violet light, as if the night contended with the day for who should o'er this lower world hold sway, I took my way towards the superstore, and passed a drab with seven kids or more. With snotty babe and shopping laden down, she bent her steps towards the north of town. Her face was blue, her clothes completely soaked, and scolding winds did rive the knotty oaks, until it seemed by mighty gusts and thunder Apollo's axle tree would burst asunder. In such a storm she had to walk so far, it seemed so sad, I almost stopped the car.
Dost thou not see how dangerous that would be? They'd rip the seats and steal all your CDs. They have no sense of rhyme like you and I, but know well how to nick stuff on the sly.
You know so many facts. Why waste them all on little me? Go, lecture City Hall.
You've clearly given politics no thought, for it's most like a dangerous blood sport. The proud torero, leaping in the ring, takes first a look. He makes no casual spring, for if he does, he will be cruelly gored and pinned upon the advertising boards. There is a tide in the affairs of towns. I'll wait till it begins to turn around. I've made the mayor think me his trusty friend, and gained his confidence to reach my ends. Thus do I seem to smile on his projects, but yet I'll pull that chain from his fat neck.
Show me, Lockhart, this dismal thing they've found in excavating underneath this wall.
My lord, they've found some corpses buried here back in the times of Sutton-Notton clashes.
For Notton then played in the Premier League.
Your lordship is deep versed in football lore, but I meant those wars which our fathers fought against cruel southerners who overcame, for this was ne'er an equilibrate fight. Our Notton men were poets, saints, and scholars, more used to fast and study than to war, who, when they heard the sound of distant drums, descended to the margins of the firth, and in the misty morning, singing hymns scarce audible above the turbulent surge, they gathered staves and broken shards of oars. With these, they strove to fend off cannonballs, machine guns, tanks, and cunning exocets. But long their struggle could not be maintained. Like fairest forest flowers, they got well plucked.
So I've heard tell, and it doth pain me yet.
This case is yet the painfulest of all. Here there's no trace of wounds, nor broken limbs. Their mouths are stuffed with earth, so I infer that living they were in the ground inhumed. Thou art no stranger to the tales of yore, writ by Sir Walter Knott, the Errant Sheep, and R.L. Yeats, and others of that hue, which tell of evil deeds by Sutton's hordes. So captive here were led these Nottonites, then martyred for their birthright as free men.
Alas, their saintly bones are dry and white, but rise as will their story to the surface, for evil deeds will not rest unrevealed. I cannot choose but weep, but down, tears, down.
Lord Collington is moved. His engine ticks. It rests to crank it up a gear or two. I will this night, in at his window, lob writings that call to mind his great forebears, and bid him gird his loins and lead us now in reclamation of our ancient rights.
That bully day is stealing time from me. His rays still stain blood red the western sky. I thought we had agreed to split in half the hours when first we went our separate ways. But every month he lingers out his stay, delays this moment, which most men love best. Now, as I spread my veil across the town, the moon is up and stars begin to shine. Meanwhile, the busy people rest from care, and flickering light illumes their cosy rooms. They watch EastEnders, Cheers, and Delia Smith. 'Tis I that gently lift their noses off the grindstones where cruel day has held them fast. And when need be, I weave my magic spells for those who still respond to night's soft call. Here lies a house where I must do some good. A simple spell bring I, compounded of the juices of a little western flower whose heady perfume doth restore romance to those who've lost it midst day's tedious tasks.
How beauteously the planets shine, so bright. Come see, Bill Bromley, what a lovely night.
You're scarce clad, Eleanor. You'll catch a chill.
The night is sweet. She'll make nobody ill.
The news is coming on. Really, my pet, it's thou who hither should retrace thy steps. A marvellous event has just occurred. Some tortured corpses have been disinterred.
That doesn't sound so wonderful to me.
It spoils the Mayor's union policy. There will be trouble now, and even riots.
Forget all that. Come, let's walk in the quiet.
Now, can't you see I'm watching the TV? Just take some notes. Make me a summary.
The time was once when he unurged would vow. No form of speech could please him anyhow, nor object could be pleasant to his view, unless I shared the moment with him too.
Lockhart won't leave the north side, so knows not how sweet the moonbeams sleep on Sutton's gardens. But soft, what light breaks from that patio door? What lovely vision floats towards me now.
Such a shame he will not step outside this balmy night when flowers open wide to waft their scents abroad upon the breeze. I'll glut my senses on the peonies. Oh, what's that? Something absolutely luscious tonight. It just might be my Philadelphus. Mock orange is her other common name, but Philadelphia still will smell the same and spread her sweetness on the summer night and be perceived, though she be out of sight.
The perfume that she wears enchants my nostrils, and its effect on me is quite electric. I think I've trespassed in some private garden, and saints preserve us. Now I've got a... Hello?
Five, murder, rape, police and fire brigade.
Peace, madam, I do mean no harm at all. Pray do not shout, some folk may be asleep. I only meant to ask for some directions. We men can't help it if we get lost. Ow! Ow, you bit me to the marrow bone.
However cute you may be, in the night all cats are grey and quick advance is fright. On top of which, I'm married, have a spouse. Look where he comes rampaging from the house. So leave at once and don't make any fuss. He's fiercer than a wild rhinoceros.
Alack, there lies more peril in thine eye than 20 charging white rhinoceroses.
Nay, fly at once, else will he strike thee dead.
Our lips, two blushing pilgrims ready stand. They need to drink ere they depart again.
Just softly, once, we'll let them taste my mouth.
Eleanor, never more shall you go out if all that you can do is scream and shout.
For my sake, flee, kind sir.
I take my leave, but still taste honey, sweet as Hybla bees.
What racket and what ruckus did I hear?
It was a man accosted me, my dear. A stranger who was walking in the dark had somehow found his way into our park.
This stranger? I presume you heard him speak. Would you describe his rhyming skills as weak?
He purposed, rather than to speak in rhyme, to vent his feelings.
Feeling you's a crime. This stalker tried to rape you, so you cried.
I'm sorry, but...
Please don't apologise. But now you see you should not hang about at night, when psycho killers venture out from their sculpt halls mid knotted sordidry. Now, while you make a soothing pot of tea, the press and TV will I swiftly phone. To a good such dangers were made widely known. This accident falls happily. On the whole, 'twill argue that the mayor has lost control when added to the unrest from the news. To foment trouble, what 'twere best to do? The Reverend Motley shall I now incite to arm his pink men and prepare to fight. As sweetest marrow swell on foul manure, so crime and mayhem further my career. I shall yet grasp that shiny golden chain and bring peace to our citizens again.
What strange mischance! The wrong pair took my spell, and I don't know of any antidote.
Oh, who would live turmoiled in the town that might enjoy such country peace as this? This mansion house my noble forebears left me contenteth me, and well it were indeed if all were thus pleased with their fated lot. But still they strive and labour in dark mills that belch pollution forth into our skies and rumble on into the night. But here on evenings such as this there is no sound save that of bullfrogs croaking in my ponds. What sudden noise was that I heard, McCabe?
A stone, my lord, flew through the window-pane and tied thereon a note addressed to you.
Pray read thou me the content of that note. I cannot see to read without my pince-nez.
Although our thews are like our ancestors, it seems as if our fathers' minds are dead, and we are governed with our mothers' spirits. Our yoke and sufferance show us womanish, not an awake. Speak, strike, and then redress.
Who writes to me in such peremptory tones?
There is, my lord, no signature affixed.
A circular, no doubt. Let's see. But pray thou bid the postman put these through the door.
I shall make known to him your lordship's will.
Pray read, Chief Constable, this same petition that to my office they have made submission.
The fatal consequences of this union will drag us swiftly down to ruination. You dearly tax our iron, timber, malt, your bitter jealousies assail our trade, and dismal disaffections rear their heads. Therefore, we pray to separate before this animosity breeds civil strife. It's signed by masons, shipwrights and gamekeepers, and marked by poor illiterate chimney sweepers. Papers full of holes. They pressed too hard and signed on a rough slab in some graveyard.
Ungrateful wretches, quite devoid of sense, unable to make rhymes for just 2 pence. Who is behind this? Who did set it on?
Some say it was Lord Douglas Collington, but yet methinks he was a stalking horse. Others are cleverer than he, of course.
Such as that journalist with poisoned quill. Canst find no way to keep him quiet and still? His article about those buried dead has set our people at each other's heads. He writes that on the 12th, when march the pinks with banging drums, that everybody thinks the rash unsettled Nottonites will meet and bar these men from access to their streets. For years, the pinks have peace march to the port to celebrate some ancient war 'twas fought. But clearly, if one writes such provocation, events fulfil the bleak prognostication. As loving words breed peace, so talk of hate must fearful bloody issue arbitrate. This union, foreseen a sure vote winner, in practice looks more like a vile dog's dinner. I never should have heeded young Miss Proctor. I need a more experienced spin doctor.
Well, the problem is, the people can perceive that no advantages have been received, and though your worship had the town renamed, the people use the old terms just the same. And what's more, our export drivers took a beating, the effect of economic overheating.
Thus trouble never singly comes to us, nor when it's looked for, but as 'twere a bus, it holds back till it is joined by four or five. Then, when you've turned away, they all arrive.
And with due respect, Your Worship, I foretold this union plan would leave the people cold. The policy I counselled at the time was zero tolerance for vice and crime.
That calls to mind the case of Mrs. Bromley, who paid the price for being fresh and comely. The newsmen ask, where were our policemen then? Snored they within the Seven Sleepers' den. They tell me we should take rapid action.
This case falls well. 'Twill serve as a distraction. We'll help the tabloids stir up general fear and then assuage it.
That's a good idea. We count on action from you and your force.
Ah, for which the town hall must provide resource. We need to get the boys back on the beat, out of the police canteen and on the street. We need computers, guns, technology. All trouble spots should have CCTV.
Okay, but what say your forensic side? Have they determined how these corpses died?
Our town was once a legend, far and wide, for stinky smells that no one could abide. Their insalubrity was whole and utter. They poured their waste excretions in the gutter with nothing but a shout of guardy low to warn the unsuspecting folk below. And shouting, keep the water, and in French is little help to those you mean to drench. Thus, evidence on cause of death is vague, but points towards disease, bubonic plague.
So why not tell me of this sooner, man? This news is good. I spy a cunning plan.
Here are we gathered to forestall the march of vilest pink men through our Notton streets. But where is Fergus? Saw ye him this day?
I spied him, Lockhart. In the deep of night he leant against a lamppost near the links, and thus I heard a murmur to the moon. Ah me, I'm lost. I might as well have loved a bright particular star as Eleanor. What time may bring I know not, but I see, as compass needles always seek the north, so my heart's aim will now stand true for certain. But lo, where he comes, his doublet all unbraced.
So, Fergus, thou hast met some Sutton tart who doth pick the padlock to thy breeches.
Reason and love have ne'er been close allied. If I could choose, perhaps I would love thee.
I have no relish in thy sportive tricks. Thou doth delay the onset of our venture. Let each man grasp the bone of a dead saint and hold it proudly by the cleanest end. Think on that saint. He breathed his last for you, whispering, I die that Notton may live free.
'Twere best we were led by some man of note to show the justice of our righteous claim.
And this have I broached with his noble lord, the thrice-renowned Earl of Collington. He is our natural leader. His forebears did lead us forth to fight in 45, 15, and, dare I speak it, 98. And he sits high in all the people's hearts. He asked you to say what? He cannot come. Did he divulge the reason for this lapse? I see. Yes, I fully understand just how much he regrets this contretemps. Tell him I'm sure his tooth will cease to ache, for if he likes, I'll visit him myself, and with hot pliers I'll pull the damn thing out. It seems the noble lord will not appear. Aww. But what if so? We'll boldly face the foe. I think I hear his martial music now. But first, let's sing farewell, old Notton Town, to raise our spirits and recall past times.
The flowers have withered, the light candles are out.
Shout is Notton Street,
and every man so
not a nice kid,
not down all their drinks.
He wore it in the cinema, though those behind me.
revenge upon our ancient right to march, bang drums, and vent our general spite against King Michael, his corrupted reign, and his alliance with the Queen of Spain. You should be grateful to our dead forefathers who kept your homes free from Patatas Bravas.
We only come to parley with you, Motley. This warlike march ill suits your reverend title. Our peaceful protest bids you to draw back.
Strike up again, we march on through the town, and those who are in our way get trodden down.
The bones of saints and scholars bar your way, and while we hold them, here we will remain.
I'll take thy precious bone and stick it.
Where?
To lick it afterward, you would not care.
Go to. The pinks are prodigal of brags, but menace more than they can well perform.
I'll either make thee stoop and bend thy knee, or sack this city with a mutiny. We'll smash this town into a heap of dust, for after all, it doth belong to us.
Hey, go thou back. I will not budge a foot. I'll canvass thy beloved round black hat, which makes thee look more Charlie and less Chaplin, and stamp it like a pancake in the ground if thou proceed in this thy insolence.
Come then, the battle lets no more delay. I'll chase thee hence, thou wolf in sheep's array.
Tis not the trial of a woman's war. The bitter clamour of two eager tongues can arbitrate this cause betwixt us twain. I will not answer thee with words, but blows!
Silence, you men! Hearken to what I say. The mayor has signed a new bylaw this day, whose prohibitions do I now make known. The first, the public brandishment of bones from plaguey corpses which might cause infection. The second, in the schedule and subsection, the mustering of bands of men together, at least until we get some colder weather, and can be sure the plague germs are all dead or fumigated as heretofore said.
These men lived healthily until they died. At least their bones look pretty good to me.
Oh, hast thou, Lockett, spent time at Surgeon's College to gain such epidemiologic knowledge? You're aware, no doubt, that in our town there lies a young man who's been stricken down. The doctor says in a plaguey state, the first such case since 1688.
You police of Sutton natives to a man, you slander our dead heroes to our faces.
These are outdated concepts, Sutton, Notton. We all breathe here a pure fresh air with Snotton, with equal opportunities for all. To join the force, go thou to City Hall and ask them for the standard application, then sit your rhyming test down at the station.
I rather had go down upon my knees and break stones in the yard of some hard jail.
And that wish can be granted, you may find, and then we shall see how thou art inclined.
Still, I will be no breaker of the law, but Motley shall I meet and bust his ass.
I'll meet thee, villain, thou the place may fix, as far as snowy alpine Chamonix. We'll rendezvous upon a sea of ice. You won't find that particular.
Now, both sides, bid your men stand back at once.
We'll proudly wheel and bravely turn around. We will not soil our feet on plaguey ground.
Away with you.
Hast heard the news, Fergus? A pressman's locked in jail for saying what everyone believes, that the so-called victim of the plague had supped on curious shellfish in Marbella. And credence dwells not with those forensics who put away the famous Naughton 7.
Well, the only Naughton 7 I recall were put away against Sutton in the Rain one New Year's Day some 30 years ago. And though in recent years they've won the cup, while we have languished in Division 1, we've rose again like phoenix with new stars from the fair champagne countryside of France and lands beyond Euphrates' silver flood unto the farthest equinoctial line.
Now, cursed be the day that first some white breathed air into the bladder of a pig and bid his friends come boot this thing around. By this invention, men have lost their wits, and he who lodges balls between two posts has grown more wealthy than the Aga Khan. I speak not of this, but of wronged men. Read thou thyself the terms of this bylaw.
Our press is free, so freely may report all matters that are done or said or thought, excepting only lies that tend to raise distempered passions or to sow malaise. And he who does the latter shall not fail to be transported, fined, or sent to jail.
You spy their game? They take the right to say what's true, what's false, what's night, and what is morning. For this, a man lies thralled in Sutton jail, and I do crave thy help to set him free.
Things are a sorry mess in this old town, but I'm with thee, George Lockhart, my dear friend.
Come then, let's plot our subtle stratagems to outwit the minions of our unjust laws.
brash day now struts in the Antipodes, turning from us his unrelenting gaze. And once the searching eye of heaven is hid, lovers may kiss and hold each other tight. Francesca now can cast aside her book and love her Paolo, fearlessly and free. And night is likewise friend to those who seek to free poor prisoners from their stony cells. This night I have made very quiet and still. I've told the mouse to stay and twitch his nose deep in the shelter of his friendly hole, forbade the owl to toot, the bat to shriek, the wind to stir, and less to kiss the trees, so softly that no leaf shall agitate. And citizens sleep sound, as Trojans did, while cunning Greeks crept forth their wooden horse.
Thou didst not say the wall would be so massy. Splinty ribs do much appall my gaze.
But thou art fit, my Fergus. Scale its heights and free that poor man from his dismal cell. But don't forget the signal. When it's clear, I'll hum a melody from Figaro. How shall I find the prisoner that we seek? Well thought on. I had near forgot to state. His cell is number C5649. It may be that the 5 denotes the floor. The 5th floor, that would be... If there is one.
Dum da dum da dum da dum da dum da dum dum. Dum dum. Oh, good evening, sir. Pray tell, what makes thou here under this prison wall so grim and sheer? Thou art not oft detected here in Sutton.
I would have said to you this town is free, but that phrase does not quite ring true today. I keep a vigil here and pray for peace, love, understanding, tolerance, and trust.
These are the words that dangerous people choose, but prayer is legal, though it be misused. And vigil-keeping is not yet a crime. And so, good night. We'll meet another time.
So all is clear. I have the prisoner. Get back, you idiot. The police are near. That melody is from Don Giovanni. I rather think it's from Figaro. Thy operatic learning is so patchy, we'll change the code. When the police have gone, I'll sing that Notton song, Lochwood No More. La-da-dee, la-da-dee-da. Now, get thee back at once.
Didst call me back?
I wished to bid thee good night, officer.
I thought I heard thee cite that ancient rhyme, rewritten by a duo for our times. Male specky twins of aspect dour and grim, whose name I have forgot, but not their hymn.
I pray thee, sir, do not sing that song now, not here beneath this dismal prison wall.
We grant thee rights to wander in our city. 'Tis only fair thou let'st me sing thy ditty. My vocal style has oft times been admired in concert with the constabulary choir. When ye go, will ye send back a CD rum fed Disneyland? For Howlard no more, Bognight no more, Mullingar no more, Lochwood no more.
Inspector no more. I do much fear me thou'st crushed him, Fergus, in thy reckless leap, thou too. Still, well met, journalistic friend.
I never have met terrorists before. You must explain to me your procedure.
Oh, he groans. Oh. Let's help the poor man to his feet. This is no place to linger. Come, away, and seek a place to hide till break of morning.
Night owes her vigil keepers her excuses. I had forgot to visit the police and fill their eyes with sand, their heads with dreams. Now I do fear the whole force is awake. Not all of those who profit from the night are friends to love or me, for at this time all kinds of odd folk range abroad unseen. And here's a hooker, leaning against a lamp, with mouth all rouged and tempting leg displayed. But soft, let's leave. Not interrupt our work, for here's a client, a well-dressed, portly gent. They murmur low, But no sweet words of love come forth. They reach agreement on a price. She charges more for men who sport gold chains.
Well, although we are all victims of inflation, and I approve manual manipulation, your price, my sweetling, does not seem too low to justify excluding fellatio. I've had a stressful day, beyond belief, and I need something special for relief. I like your legs. Although your feet are big, your hair feels like it... Oh, blow me! It's a wig!
Your boyfriend shows speed for his time of luck. Or perhaps you will persuade us you're his wife.
Oh, can not a girl know in an honest buck? It's not a crime to take cash for a kiss.
But is it like thy client would agree that all his cash should go to meet thy fee? This is his wallet. Was it he who pressed it here inside your bra against your flesh? Come in. Let's hail this creature to the station, where we will sure extract more information.
That's it then for this day. My tasks are done. The shopping's bought, the garments roundly spun, the cat's been hoovered, and I've washed the dishes. And Ina's my old nurse taught, made my wishes. I've done this every last day of my marriage. Time was I used wish only for that carriage that would bring me as lady to the mayor to City Hall to take my pleasure there. But lately I feel more like Cinderella. And as each night falls, think upon that fellow who in my garden with the teeniest kissing unfurled my petals, showed me what I'm missing. Today of all days, my anniversary. 5 autumns have heaped up our granaries, 5 springs blown flat the golden daffodils since first I wedded my dear husband Bill. I wonder, is he conscious of the date? He said no word, and now it's getting late. It's time for bed, my dear.
I hear your call, but I must watch today in City Hall.
Lies there some great importance in this day? Is it so special? If so, in what way?
The mayor called in the council to explain his new hard-line intolerance campaign. He hoped by harking on the crime he'll stop, we would forget the promises he's dropped.
You should rejoice, you know. 'Twas thou who gave the impulse to this talk of a crime wave. That scented night when I walked in my shift and that dark stranger just could not resist.
But I don't want the mayor to get the credit. What's this bit? This is where he landed in it.
Sudden surge in crime has struck us at this particular time. The figures show that crime was going down until we joined the north part of our town.
We interrupt this City Hall recording to bring all Sutton residents a warning. A terror group has sprung a criminal from out the jail by climbing over a wall. These men are dangerous. They're strongly armed, so stay inside. But do not be alarmed. We are seeking some apt comment from the mayor, but he can't be located anywhere.
I thought I heard a siren's plangent wail. I didn't realize it was the jail.
Our leader is not there in times of need. The press will have to seek a quote from me. I'll say our brave police are on the case, and for these men there'll be no hiding place. And here's 3 pressmen now outside our door. I'll welcome them myself.
But art thou sure?
Now, Fergus, cut the wire that joins the phone, and then we all can make ourselves at ease.
You did not tell me that you bore a pistol.
What other course can hold for desperate men? You think this gentleman would shelter us if he were not obliged thereto by force?
No, ruffian, I'd spurn you from my home. Your capture is not thwarted, just postponed.
'Tis she. How strange to meet again like this.
Is he? How strange. Such stuff are dreams made on. Pray, sit you down. Oh, there's room on the settee. Ah. Perhaps you would like a cup of tea.
Oh, thanks, sweet Eleanor.
Do you take milk?
I doubted you knew dastards of this ilk. But t'other two I know, and will report you're all marked men, and surely will be caught. Run upstairs, Eleanor, and find some clothes. The effect of your undressed state is well known.
She stays in here. You'll both do as you're told.
Ah!
I pardon, Lord Mayor, if I did make you start. My men have found your wallet on a tart.
So that is where it went, cunning bitch. Oh, damn it, trumpet-cursed little witch. Let's have a hung, transported or the border. No, worse, a community service order.
I do not think, sir, you can mean to say you met this tart who took your cash away. Her client did commit indecent acts with her in public. These most sordid facts would make a juicy story for the papers. Our hardline mayor gets hard on in sex capers.
Uneasy lies the neck that wears a chain. If I were to begin my time again, you know what I'd prefer? To keep a flock of goats and play the flute upon a rock, whose tune would mingle with the voice of rills that trickle through the grass tufts on the hills. A hawthorn bush would lend me its sweet shade, and my herd gather round me while I played. And though my food was naught but homely curds, my hut wrought all of wattle and goat turds, I'd live and play, and grow old free from care, and never envy those elected mayor. For if they get in any kind of mess, it's sure to reach the front page of the press. Our journalists resemble swarms of flies who cluster thickest in a nasty sty.
My case is in safe hands. Inspector Klotz, who treats the mayor as if he were a god. His theory runs. You were robbed by a man who lost his booty to the tart's deft hand, and so he seeks this third man through the town, and men who don't exist are rarely found.
What do you mean, this third man? There's just two.
Ah, yes, this point may not be clear to you. Thou knowest in olden days how oft a maid herself in man's accoutrements arrayed, and walked thus through dark forests with less dread of molestation to her maidenhead. But time reverses all our yesteryears, and men now dress in dainty female gear to flaunt themselves, and hold it but good luck if they should get a French kiss or a...
I'm struck with fear. Does that mean a tart last night?
Indeed, no lady, but a transvestite.
Ah.
But fear thou not, for I've taken thought. We'll make out a lost property report. Just right here... Lost my wallet at the station while making a munificent donation.
I sign?
Just there. My stamp bears an old date. Right, now to catch these enemies of state. We've sealed off the highway and the metro.
But you can testify, I'm really hetero.
I stand behind you firm. Sir knows I do.
It's good to feel you there. That's very true.
I wonder if I might tempt you to take a bit of crumpet or more carrot cake.
There's no necessity to be polite with rogues who force their way in armed at night.
May I ask for another cup of tea, if it's not too much trouble, Mrs. B?
Though thou writest stories for the Nottingham cause, thy speech has oft a smack of Sutton int. Where first didst learn to speak? Where art thou from?
Oh, I'm from the West, from famous Western town, where we may speak in rhyme or in blank verse, just as we please, and none thinks any worse. And if we feel like it, we use lines that go on and on and on and on, and then suddenly stop for no obvious reason. Or tell your little ones.
Sheer anarchy of order, you're bereft.
I understand entirely why you left.
It has occurred to me blank verse sounds sweeter. Sometimes rhyming buggers up the meter.
When rhymes fall from a woman's softest lips, I can't imagine any sweeter sound.
We have this house enclosed and surrounded, so come out with your hands above your head. We've got black balaclavas, riot shields, plus water cannon, helmets, guns, so yeah.
How have they found this? Who did spill the beans?
I have upon me, as you should have known, a handsome cordless mobile telephone. Your plan was weak. One call sufficed to spoil it. Didst thou not muse why I dwelt in the toilet?
I knew you'd feel at home there, for your type have often seemed to float across the bowl.
5 minutes space is all we can allot. Then we will charge and you may well get shot.
There lies your way. I'll show you to the door. If blood is spilt, pray God not on my floor.
I think like you, my friend. Let no blood spill. But if there must be blood, we'll shed yours first. So, tell your friends outside just how things stand.
I don't think you could shoot a fellow man.
But shites I drill with pleasure, as you'll see. So shout to them before I count to four.
Your pistol is a rusty old antique. Can you be sure from which end it will speak?
Oh, I beg you, husband mine, don't try to stall, for desperate men are capable of all.
Okay, I start the countdown. This is one.
I do not think that he will fire that gun.
'Tis but a little squeezing now, that's two.
I fear less confident than you.
Your wife most justly fears, so shout. That's three.
Have you a camera, madam, you could lend me?
Four. Say your prayers, for thou shalt ne'er hear five.
He cannot shoot. I see it in his eyes.
Bastard's right.
Still, we may have a chance. I know a way out over the garden wall. They may not watch that exit quite so well.
Stand still, you villains. I have no remorse, and shooting you would just be lawful force.
Just 30 seconds left. Select your feet. Surrender now, or it'll be too late.
Give me that pistol. That's enough of
this. They stand aside. From here I will not miss. I'm not some softy who would fear to shoot, but bloody, dreadful, bold, and resolute.
Give me that gun, sir. Let me have it now.
Oh, he's slain my Fergus.
So now shall I die too?
A murder, great, and I was on the spot. My name is May.
May, fear thou not for me. I thought there might be danger with a gun, so I poked the bullet out last night and filled the pan with soot, whose foul discharge makes our host's visage fearful to behold.
Now heed my counsel. There's no time to waste. I have an idea for a hiding place.
I'll stay, thanks. A police attack is worth seeing. Though it's not as good as a murder, it's true.
That one's a prisoner. Give him a slug.
Someone's armed. Take that, you vicious tongue. His face is very black, we might have guessed. For often 'tis black men that we arrest.
This argues that their race is wicked, genes. Come, madam, we'll escort you from this scene.
I think it would be better if I stayed to start to clear this sorry mess you've made.
What dreams assailed me in my bed last night? I woke with hairs, no other bits, upright. I saw me naked in my limousine while people threw things at the window screen. Oh, good day, Chief Constable. And, I believe, Bromley. How art thou, hero of the siege?
'Twill pass, 'tis not so much a bloody bump. Then, when they threw me in the cell, a lump.
'Tis pity that the shock she had gone through stopped your sweet wife from recognising you.
The headline writers have heaped piles of scorn upon the work your task force did this morning.
I would not pay too much heed to the press, for technically it was a great success. The mortar cannon gushed a powerful spray.
Just one small hitch. The villains got away.
Although our attack equipment now suffices for tracking, we need infrared devices. Mounted on helicopters, these could trace all fugitives in any kind of place.
Same old theme, you never have enough. We bought CCTV, amongst other stuff. Go view the tapes, they may afford some clues. Tomorrow, I and Bromley face the news. Thy merits, loyal friend, are clear to see. And now I will appoint thee deputy. I know thou wilt not concur with the press and blame the mayor for this day's sorry mess, for voters are as fickle as the breeze. You may spread blame wherever else you please. Our chief policeman won't be sorely missed, but say just what you like.
I'll muse on this and thank thee for thy tender care of me.
Nay, I thank thee, my trusty deputy.
Chief Constable, it's not usual to see an officer of thy rank visit me. Has Eleanor smashed something with her car? You know how unmechanic women are. They think the driver's mirror's designed for getting on their lipstick in straight lines. Their heads are full of dreams. They're often lost. I'll have stern words with her and pay all costs.
My wife has had no accident for days. They know her now and keep out of her way. I come about thy purposed interviews with local press, TV and radio news. Before them, there is something you should see in thy assistant mayor capacity. The mayor was right. Villains may think they've escaped, but reckon not on our surveillance tapes.
Give me the video, I'll dim the lights.
But be prepared for some abysmal sights.
Nay, fear thou not, for when my wife's not in, I watch tapes like big nuns' hot nights of sin.
Something special.
Now, is there anyone who'd like a piece? Oh, dear. The one upright is quite a beast. The younger chap who kneels as if he begs is rather cute. I like his good strong legs.
Such sights are not for ladies' eyes, my dear.
I'll leave you gentlemen alone in here.
The town halls kept the police force starved of cash. Events have proved such meanness can be rash. If thou dost full police budgets reinstate, this evidential tape will I donate to your town hall electoral campaign and help you to reach up and grip the chain.
And my campaign shall meet the people's will to reinstall the Notton Town Council. As for the mayor, I'll call him to resign, and I shall stand against him in due time.
I am the day, and it is morning time. I fire the proud tops of the eastern pines, transluced your eyelids with my rays of light, and purge the vile contagions caused by night. And better 'twere the sun had ever shone, so many bad deeds might be then undone. Look what a mess night made for Bromley's wife. That potion could have altered her whole life, and though I keep her dutiful by day, at night a secret love affair holds sway. Night does not merit equal half time share. Let day rule all, the world will show more fair. They've held the new municipal elections. To help the floating voters' tough selection, they showed a video in clubs and bars, and sometimes in multiplex cinemas. We've had enough filth, people, don't you find? Yes, they shouted back. Now press rewind. The former mayor is now an ex-film star. But Bromley won more voters ex by far. Some voted for his separation plan, but many more because they like the man. He smiles a lot. He moves his hands around. His mortgage loans all seem to be quite sound. He shakes the hands of old folk on park benches and takes his bonnet off to oyster wenches. All hail democracy, or so I say. Dark night is gone. Let's welcome lasting day.
Welcome, sweet ladies. Welcome, our free press. Today's July the 1st, the height of summer. Don't read this bit, my lord, if it is raining. And God has sent his sun to shine on us. I stand before you here with Mr. Bromley and his dear wife, than whom none is more pretty. That bit, at least, is true, if I may say so. We tread on the doormat of a new age, agreed we should unshackle former fetters and reinstate our glorious Notton Council. See this long mace with massy knob endowed. What object could be more richly symbolic? This shall I hold as mayor. Thus 'tis agreed. Let no man try to yank it off from me.
The term of mayor is not exactly right. We did agree another name which might avoid confusion with our own estate. Our demi-mayor, then, and our loyal mate.
Methinks I hear the voices of the past, the cries of winkle catchers on the beach, intent upon their prey, and other shouts of welders in our shipyards who have welded their metal boot caps to some freighter's hull, and yells from ancient guys in battle gear as some stray caber tosser lifts his kilt. All cry, throw out the worn-out cloak of Snotten, let's once again be Notten. And the other one. Remember what Sir Walter Knott once wrote. Breathes there a man with soul so watered down, he takes no pleasure in his native council.
Your reasons. Why do you think it is so great to fall asunder, split and separate?
Our council's an historic institution, and 'tis as 'twere like bulwarks to the town.
Ah, so, bulwarks. Right. I've got that noted down.
Lord Collington has asked me to explain the democratic overplus you'll gain, and we have set down fuller information in this attractive low-cost publication. Your council will have rights to levy tax, and for all those who think the law's too lax to pass tough resolutions and bylaws, hold mass debating sessions without pause. Perhaps if someone now could hit the lights, 'tis sudden dark, almost as if 'twere night.
This most unusual blackness in midday, as if next month's eclipse had come too soon, must sure portend disaster and dismay.
But now 'tis time for some traditional dance. We know how Notton people love to prance. My wife will give the signal for the start, for next to Sutton she has all my heart. So if we please could have one volunteer, one dancer please, just step right on up here.
And let me dance with lovely Eleanor.
I'm sorry, Bill, to sound so out of key, but I do love another. This is he.
I never dared to hope you would be mine. Please bite my hand again, or I will think some pleasant dream has stolen to the day.
Oh, some nightmare. That's right, for night doth fall. A treasurer may be a single man. In fact, that's best, for wise financial plans are made by men, but sabotaged by women whose spending skills are truly superhuman. But mayors must be married, that's quite clear. And what good could a knot a night be near? The knotty problems we have seen so far, I mean the mortal and intestine jars twixt his seditious townsfolk and our own, are arguments to leave him well alone.
Thy constant denigration of our Norton hath ever been the cause of many troubles.
This Fergus is but a poor labouring man who cannot offer half of what I can. To be a Lady Mayoress will be sweet. You'll ride a limousine down George's Street. I am the half-part of a blessed pair. Your beauty merits no less than a mare.
This man may not have much, but he's my love. He is my finger, I'm his velvet glove. And if he is a dancer, I'm his dance, as I'll his Paris be if he's my France. If he's a gutter, I'm a clinging icicle. But if I am a fish, you are a bicycle.
Come, sweet. We'll leave this city far behind.
Seek out some place where people will be kind.
But it boots not if thou be black or white.
Or Irish, Arab, Jew or Ottomite.
Who goes with us then? Lockhart, will thou come?
I cannot leave poor Notton where she stands, with Collinton upon the mayoral throne, or demi-throne, which is all they allot. This deal that he has struck now cannot last. The boundary they've traced has robbed us of some 17 square roods of the North Swamp. Already discontent doth raise its head, and in the south Red Len is up in arms, who will draw down that way the Sutton powers. So though I smile and smoothly play along, 'tis all for policy. My time shall come.
In United We Fall, the Mayor was played by Stephen MacDonald, Lockhart by Jimmy Chisholm, Bromley by Mark MacDonald, Eleanor by Noreen Layton, the Chief Constable by Paul Young, Lord Collinton by Finlay MacLean, Fergus by Henry Ian Cusick, and the Journalist by Finlay Welsh. United We Fall was written by Paul Stevenson and directed in Edinburgh by Patrick Rayner.